The hiring manager automatically assumes this individual possesses a golden set of hardwired sales attributes that never, ever require continuing education or mentoring.
Welcome to the ClinLab Sales Podcast, bringing fresh insight for focusing your sales strategy. Our host is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training. This is the second of two episodes for sales managers on optimizing your lab sales performance. In the first episode, Peter covered developmental coaching, and this episode is all about field coaching. He goes into detail about how the coach and salesperson together develop a helpful relationship, refine the strategy, and deliver on tactics.
Now we move on to part two of optimizing your lab sales performance. This is in the field coaching. Sales coaching remains indispensable to great salesmanship. When you consider the world's top performers in any business, they practice and hone their craft on a regular basis, and they do it with a professional coach. The reason? Simply put, individuals need someone else to observe how they do something. We can't see our own swing, and human nature doesn't encourage to self-analyze. For those labs who market their services, the field rep can report to a variety of positions: the owner, lab manager, a sales manager, an outreach manager, pathologist, marketing manager, and so forth. Regardless of the title, the boss should help their employee grow in their job and expand their capabilities and effectiveness. A common misconception abounds when labs hire an experienced field person. The hiring manager automatically assumes this individual possesses a golden set of hardwired sales attributes that never, ever require continuing education or mentoring. The fact remains, nothing could be further from the truth. Many organizations may neglect ongoing training and coaching of their field personnel. Sales managers typically become mired in performing mundane managerial tasks like reviewing call reports, writing monthly reports, putting out fires, attending internal meetings, visiting clients, working on special projects, and so forth. If a lab director or owner with no sales management experience oversees sales, their plate naturally crams up with everyday challenges, and they push developing their marketing associate to the proverbial back burner. When this happens, the field rep may continue with underdeveloped sales techniques and persist in struggling within their territory due to the absence of professional oversight. Despite the fact that many labs don't have a full-time sales manager, some believe in the true value of training and coaching. They hire an ad hoc, experienced professional to help with the growth potential of the marketing person. A monthly one-on-one with a representative and/or ride-alongs combined with intermittent phone calls provides an innovative solution because of the potential benefits to the representative and the company. In addition, the cost is far less when compared to a full-time manager's salary and benefits. Field coaching. Besides developmental coaching sessions that were addressed in part one of this series, a different type of coaching takes place during work encounters. This latter activity carries out a very important component of cultivating a field rep's effectiveness and overall skill set. As mentioned previously, everyone needs someone else with an astute eye to observe strengths and possible areas of improvement. In addition, praising a representative for a job well done accomplishes two things. It gives tremendous motivation and improves self-confidence. Unfortunately, offering immediate kudos by management has become a dying art. Some labs provide ongoing sales training to their marketing staff. They understand the significance of repetition and establishing a firm foundation of tactical and strategic sales techniques. This is in addition to equally important ancillary subjects such as billing, connectivity, compliance, technical updates, and so forth. However, and here's the important part, irrespective of a well-designed and taught sales training class, it can dilute its effectiveness unless field coaching reinforces it. Coaching remains that essential. Period. There are three primary areas of field coaching. The first is coaching relationship development. The second is coaching strategy. and the third is coaching tactics. Coaching relationship development. Every marketing person affirms that establishing a good relationship with a prospect or current client translates into the sine qua non of his or her job. However, observing from a manager's perspective just how deep the rep has developed a client relationship and with whom remains an interesting exercise. In a doctor's office setting, the field person typically fosters a good rapport with one individual, for example, an office manager, and a casual howdy connections with most of the other staff, including maybe the providers. However, in order to become a valued representative, amassing solid relationships throughout the office drives the ambition of top salespeople. This may take time, but it can become very effective in staving off competitive threats as well as potentially increasing business. Before going further, there needs an overview of how one forms business relationships. We will begin with a metaphor, calling it a relationship ladder. The first rung starts with billions of people, those who don't know you by name. The next rung consists of people who know you by name. The following step equates to those who like you. Moving higher to the fourth rung are the people who are friendly with you. These individuals will typically converse more than their immediate business needs. They talk about their hobby, their vacation, the children's activities, and so forth. The focus of this level establishes and shares common interests. The next level, the fifth, elevates to more rarefied air in which people respect you. This means that the client has a high opinion of your integrity and knowledge. And finally, the sixth step, the very top of the ladder, holds the people who value a relationship with you. They believe it manifests their best interest to solidify this rapport. They feel you are there to help them. Getting to the top of the relationship ladder equals a long-term proposition. Depending on various factors, like the number of interactions, what the rep does, how it's done, and how consistently it's done, this will determine where the representative stands on the ladder. Understanding this hierarchy structure becomes vital because the coach can subsequently visualize where his representative's rapport melds with various individuals within a customer setting. Following a sales or service call, the coach can ask his rep, "Where would you say your main contact at this office sees you on the relationship ladder? What about the decision maker? How about the doctor's nurse? The other influencers?" Hearing the rep's subjective assessment provides a good opportunity for an interactive discussion. Things become even more transparent when the manager has phone conversations with various customer staff members, including the providers. Ultimately, nothing else counts except the client's opinion. Developing a valued relationship. The representative may ask, "So, boss, how do I gain respect and develop a valued relationship?" Most prospects and customers with whom the rep does not have a good relationship expect him to do self-serving things. However, when a representative does the opposite, unexpected and unselfish acts, he inexorably begins a slow process of building respect and credibility because he shows a caring and interested attitude. Much of this comes from asking people what they treasure in life, what their hobbies are, where they like to go on vacation, the sports they enjoy, where they went to school, what got them into this occupation, what movies they enjoy, and so forth. Of course, a rep should converse about business-related topics, such as an available test, updated ICD codes, new methodologies, a change in supplies, etc. The getting-to-know-you conversations especially take time, but over the course of a number of interactions, it facilitates learning about the office personnel and providers. If the salesperson understands what others value and knows their individual traits, clients are much more likely to do two things: express what they need professionally and value the relationship. Bringing in an article from an internet, magazine, or newspaper on a subject of interest is one example of going above and beyond. Sending or personally giving a birthday card will universally produce a smile and an appreciation of thoughtfulness. Uncovering an unrecognized problem the client has not noticed creates value and materializes into a distinct and powerful tool. This type of customer focus separates a representative from other competitors. In addition to doing these things, the salesperson's experience and lab and industry business acumen contributes to building trust and credibility, leading to higher rungs on the relationship ladder. What does the rep think should be done? Once the manager has a grasp of all that the sales and service rep knows and has done to build the relationship, he should ask the field person for ideas about the next best thing to further the relationship. A question might be, based on what you've learned so far from Dr. Otto's office, are there any more questions you should ask so-and-so the next time you're in there? In addition, the coach can ask, what unexpected and thoughtful actions could you do that would demonstrate your interest about what's important to so-and-so at Dr. Otto's office? What do you and the rep agree upon? At this point, the coaching process should move from fact-finding and idea-generating to accountability. The field person should agree on the specific actions he'll take over the next 6 months or so to strengthen relationships even more. Coaching the strategic aspects. The first call on a never-before-seen prospect should be devoted to qualifying and cultivating a strategy. Following that, and depending upon the circumstances of the call cycle, the manager can offer insightful questions that will demarcate the marketing person's awareness of the account strategy. For example, does the representative know who plays what role in the account? The decision maker, influencer, mentor, and administrator. How does the office make lab decisions? How the office orders tests? The degree of influence of each person. What basic differences his lab has over the competition. What warning signals are lurking, such as missing information, uncertainty about information, and uncontacted staff members. What the response modes are of each contact person. Are they interested? Are they just even keel? Or are they totally uninterested? His competition, inside and out, what are the strengths and the limitations? What is the commitment objective and valid reason for seeing the client? What, if any, are the client's expressed needs? These are important questions to ask that help form a good account strategy. Coaching the tactical components. There are four major areas in the tactical aspect of a sales call. First is the preliminary stage, which is opening the conversation with topics of mutual interest or benefit. Second is the investigation stage, using open-ended questions to find out the client's situation, what their needs are, what problems they face with the current lab service, what are the unrecognized problems, and what kind of consequences these problems pose. Third, demonstrating capabilities stage, discussing features and linking them to benefits with correlation to the client's expressed needs. And fourth, the commitment stage, understanding the contact person's level of commitment and then advancing the sale forward or closing the sale. It goes beyond the scope of this discussion to detail each of the stages. There is a significant amount of background knowledge required to create a meaningful dialogue within these four areas. Teaching the representative about the intricacies of probing and developing needs, practicing with role plays, observing and coaching in real-life scenarios, they all synthesize into producing a masterclass sales rep. Summary: the best sales organizations teach their managers to be coaches, to guide their sales reps by asking questions instead of playing a dictatorship role. In-the-field ride-alongs equates to one of the best and venerated methods in observing preformed and classroom skills. In addition, providing positive feedback remains one of the most effective and important constituents in an employee's development. Excuses abound regarding not coaching sales reps. The most common argument pertains to the lack of time. But many sales leaders are missing a significant opportunity if they don't make the time. Coaching channels the rep to the next level. It means establishing a priority for the sales manager to learn how to properly coach and do it consistently. If the organization has no sales manager, it means hiring an experienced ad hoc consultant for periodic one-on-one interactions. Ultimately, it distills down to infusing coaching into the company's DNA.
You've been listening to the CLINLAB Sales Podcast. If you want to get all the episodes, you can subscribe using iTunes or any podcast application you like. If you found this valuable, please leave a review at iTunes. That helps a lot. For more information or to contact Peter Francis for sales training, visit clinlabsales.com. Thanks for listening.